Johnny Carson.
Good evening and welcome to the Monday, December 14th, Brooksville-Broadview Heights Board of Education regular meeting, commencing at 6 p.m. at the Education Center. This is a meeting of the Board of Education, public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business, and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There's time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item C, approval of agenda addendum items. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
We just have one item, which is board agenda items, for this board agenda item C. I'd like to request a motion to modify the agenda by reversing the order of agenda items K and L. In doing so, item K will become unfinished business. Item L will be administrative reports and discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item D, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per Board Policy 0166, Item A, and for the purpose of reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment as per Board Policy 0166, Item E. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Yours.
So second.
Yours.
Second. I was too preoccupied before.
Commentary? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes. We are in executive session, and we'll plan on coming out of executive session in time to reconvene our regular meeting at 7 p.m. Good evening and welcome to the 7:05 reconvening of the Monday, December 14th regular board meeting of the Brooksville-Broadview Heights Board of Education. This is a meeting of the Board of Education, public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business, and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Before we start, there was just one change to the agenda, and that is items L and K were reversed in order. Please join me in another Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Brown, could you just make a note that Ms. Mack is no longer in attendance, and hopefully she'll return later on during the meeting for yes. Personal obligation?
Absolutely.
And that will allow us to continue with item F. Resolution to approve the minutes of the November 23rd and November 24th meetings in tab 1. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion or commentary? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jitz?
Yes. Motion passes 4-0. Resolution to approve the financial reports of November 2015 in tab 2. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Brown?
Thank you. Our month to date, which now is 5/12 of the year, revenue, not a lot of excitement. The $478,000 certainly grabs the attention, but there's every reason to believe that we will collect all of our TPP money. But with the legislation, the way the supplemental funding by the legislature was implemented to offset the governor's reduction in TPP reimbursement dollars, the timing of those is just different this year, and we predicted those based upon past years, and that's not what's occurring. But every indication is we will receive our $1.7 million. By the time we get to the end of the year, it's just not fitting nicely into the months that we predicted it would occur. The all other financing, the $13,000, that was actually reported last month, workers' comp. We just learned today we got about another $5,000-$6,000 in some premium refund due to additional participation by Chris Code, our business manager, and Mary Larissa is administrative assistant in those different programs that are offered whereby we can receive rebates. So we do that, $13,000, $5,000, it all adds up, so we take it. Thanks to them. On the expense side, more negatives than usual. Personnel services, I think, is a function of three paid months happening, coming up here in December, timing of supplementals when seasons end later in some years and others due to postseason participation. So I anticipate that correcting itself. Every indication is that annual projected number is fine. The employee benefits, not so sure that will correct itself. As we built through all of our bus routes and we've downsized our number of drivers, but also increased the all-day, well, the everyday half-day kindergarten model, re-implemented that. We did have some additional full-time equivalent insurance changes that have taken effect, and those materialized in October after the timing of development of the forecast that was presented to you in early October for first reads on that and the draft form. So we're off a little bit there. Also, the retirement piece of that $21,382, that will begin to correct itself. We have to provide estimated annual payrolls to STRS and SERS. STRS deducts those over, you give it to them on a calendar year basis, they deduct it over a fiscal year, so it doesn't naturally align with your salary payments, and it's an estimate, not actual. So we know that come January, our base monthly payments are reducing $6,000 each, so that's going to help address some of that difference that you see to date, because we knew that our salaries were declining this year from last year because of the number of retirements we had and replacements. So we think a good piece of that will work itself out. And then on the other areas, you can see we're a little bit off on the monthly forecast of capital outlay, but we're within budgets that were established by the board and our annual appropriations for the year, so that's not a concern from that standpoint, just the timing of those purchases and related payments aren't completely aligned with the forecast. The other ones were showing positive balances to date. That normally occurs. We do budget the funds, as we talk about most months, but folks spend for what's needed, and they don't otherwise spend. So we anticipate that there will be some additional carryover there. With all the details, you know, we're right now trending about $200,000 behind forecast, and you can see that all of that is really related to the timing of those PPP payments. So we're not far off. $200,000 is a lot of money. As a percentage of $46 million budget, it's not as significant as it is to our personal checkbooks. So, any questions?
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhard? Mr. Joseph?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Item H, other business of the Treasurer, CFO, H1, appropriation modifications, A and B. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Bernhard?
Sorry, a little slower. The appropriation modifications, Fund 019 is an increase for Educational Foundation grants and CAPA. Their funds are, that we handle as their fiscal agent are included in there. And with the decline in some of their ongoing grant revenues that they've had to assist with their operational expenses in past years, they're planning to budget to utilize some of their cash reserves that are on account with us. So that and the Educational Foundation grants awarded to classroom teachers are the increase in Fund 019. Fund 451 is our internet connectivity funding. It seems to happen every year, but it's never a promise from ODE, and we didn't include it in the appropriations, and now know that we will be getting that money. It's $900 per school building. Doesn't cover all of our costs related to it, but it certainly helps, and this would authorize us to expend that, which is really just an offset to our ongoing internet costs anyhow. So those are those two items.
So one is a pass-through and the other is a benefit. Yeah, yes, yes. Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernard?
Yes.
Mr. Grossen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Janson?
Yes, motion passes 4-0. Item H2, advances between funds. Item A, may I have a motion, please?
So moved. Second.
You approved earlier this year a $40,000 advance just for temporary cash flow purposes because we can't, we aren't supposed to end months in negative cash positions for non-federal grants, so this enabled us to meet the high revised code requirements, and we're just repaying it within the same fiscal year. So it was a temporary interest-free loan.
Questions? Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack? I'm sorry. Mr. Ziegler?
I was going to answer.
Yes, motion passes 4-0.
I always do that once, but for that place.
Item H3, transfers between funds. Items A through H, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
The first fund, we had refinanced our Hospital 264 financing that was done some years ago. We were issuing annual notes on that because of the low interest rates. We bonded that out 2 years ago, and we were paying, retiring portions of the notes with interest each year. We're now allocating similar amounts of funds each year to retire those bonds. In theory, we recoup the savings from the energy efficiencies that were implemented at the time of that project. We have done a cost study on that that would indicate we have indeed realized those savings that would make those funds available for that purpose. $25,000 turf replacement, that's annual approval from, I believe, 2 years ago, that the board's committing those funds each year so that the next time we need turf, we will build up a fund to be able to cover that with other contributions that come in from different sources. Then C, D, E, F, and G, those are the amounts for all of the schools with the exception of the high school. I'll bring that one back probably at our late January meeting, not the organizational meeting, because they're working to finalize that. It's a little different and more complicated with the high school because of the nature of the courses, and the fees vary with workbooks and different things rather than the fixed fees in our other buildings. So these are the amounts for our free reduced lunch students who are not required to pay those instructional fees by Ohio law. And that's an annual allocation as well. That's part of our general fund forecast. Item H, the CAPA. We had a presentation from CAPA a month ago, I believe, 2 months ago. Maybe. Historically, as in 4 or 5 years that I can speak to with certainty, we have allocated $15,000. The discussion at that time was to increase this to $25,000 for annual support from the board. So rather than me putting the 15 on here that is part of the forecast, I've increased that to 25, believing that was the intent of the board from that conversation. And that was communicated to you by Mr. Prebles as well.
Questions, comments?
Just a quick question on 3A. So will that be the last transfer for?
I think we have two more.
Two more.
I believe so.
And that fund, though, to bond retirement, that's to collect not only these proceeds, but also the proceeds being collected for the high school, the building of the high school. It
yes.
all just goes into that same fund.
It does. We track it separately with how we pay out. But this is the only source of funds. There's no, for Hospital 264, you don't assess taxes to repay that. The theory is the savings from the energy efficiency is utilized to offset those. And I say theory only because I wasn't part of that project, but as I said, we did have a study done, I believe, 2 years ago as well. We brought in an independent architect who was not associated with the project at all, and I asked them to analyze that and determine if they believed that we were doing it, because that was a new requirement of the state at the time. Because these are much more difficult to be able to do now, to do a Hospital 264 project, because cynics like me who say, in theory, there were enough of those projects out there that probably in reality didn't really generate enough savings to offset the debt. So this one, I believe, is not in that category, and it is doing that, but technically we need to move that money off to the bond retirement fund and then retire those bonds out of that fund that's designated for said purpose. So we're just shifting money. Those exact dollars go in, they're going back out because that's the exact amount of the principal and interest.
Are those the only two bonds that are still the high school and the window replacement?
Yes, there's actually two series of bonds related to the high school, but I won't get into the details. It was a complicated financing structure.
Right.
At the time, there were, I believe, two of those types of deals that were set up. That method of financing is no longer permitted in Ohio law, and I think we have one more payment on it after the December payment we just made. So then that will be retired. But that series and the one we refunded when we did this one, they're both high school debt.
Right.
And then there's House Bill 264 debt. So that was my long answer to a short question.
From back in the day when that started, 264 was pretty interesting because it was analogous to back in the 2006-2007 range when, you know, mortgage bankers would throw money at you if you needed a home loan, whether you were qualified or not. And when we went through the list of projects, many of them were winnowed out because there was no payback on them. But there were others that were fantastic. And all 264 was guaranteed low interest loans. So there were things like boilers that were falling apart that we had to replace anyway. And this gave us access to inexpensive funds to do some of those things. So it was advantageous. Some of the projects had very, very nice short paybacks, and others probably didn't want to do. So we didn't. Anything else?
We also want the payback to be completed before the item needed to be replaced again, which is also part of the wisdom before you get those working over here.
That's a nice thing when it pays back before you got to replace it.
So it's part of the analysis of the recommendations.
Certainly. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 4-0. Item H4, resolve to extend the agreement for joint employment of the Treasurer with Cuyahoga Valley Career Center for the interim period January 1, 2016 through March 31, 2016, as set forth in the attachment tab 3. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Questions? Comments?
You really want to do this?
I don't mind doing it. I feel awkward speaking about it, but if you have questions, I'll be happy to address them. But I do know the Career Center Board approved it at their meeting last Thursday. If you're willing to do this for three more months, they have a work session scheduled for January where they intend to explore a variety of options they have for some administrative restructuring, I'll just call it, that would include this treasurer's position as to whether it remains interim or shared or nothing at all in some other capacity. And they do have a host of options they need to explore.
Mr. Jansen, I know that this is not necessary to say, but I will anyway. There has not been one meeting Mr. Redine has not attended. There hasn't been one issue that's been negative resulting this as a result of this agreement. And certainly the board's prerogative to make the decision, but I think that Mr. Redine has fulfilled every single obligation here as he did prior to this arrangement. It's been a good situation.
Well, we know it's been a benefit to CVCC.
And that's my question, because now you've had enough time to see what's going on there.
which is why I wonder why he's doing
it. That's exactly why I asked. No, I'm just asking this as a general kind of question. Now that you have a good feeling for all of what's going to be involved, I mean, I would assume from everything I'm aware of that CVCC is going to require time and effort, and you know, I mean, is it still, do you think it'll be manageable enough where it's not going to be? And I believe you're going to show up for what you need to do here. The problem is, you know, you also have a home life and everything else. And
they're glad when I'm not there.
So. No, and I understand that because I have the same situation at home, but
but it's still not shit.
You took the bag out to shit as well.
The staff there is equally capable to hear. The commitment there has actually declined from what it was the first two or three months. It was a lot in the first two or three months, but things are in very good order, I think, there also. And it's really on that board and administration to decide how they want to staff their district going forward more than it is me to dictate that. I've told them I'll help for the duration they need, and if it doesn't extend beyond that, no hard feelings, because I do think they have at least a half dozen options I've presented to them that they could consider for how to staff that operation, and not all of those include me, so and that's okay. But they need to explore that and decide how they want to do what's best for them.
Do they anticipate that they'll settle on a path forward by end of March?
Anticipate settling on a path, yes. Have that in place. I'm not as confident about that, Mr. Disson.
Yes, so. That's why I said anticipate.
Yes, that's the plan is to do it. I think the work session's the 23rd or something like that. I might have the wrong date, but it's close. Whatever that Thursday is, but toward the end of the month there. So I think that's their intent. But, you know, timing on that, because the business major is retiring July 31, and when they get searches going and decide, you know, work session's a beginning point, not the end. So we may be having a similar conversation one more time, but I don't think it would be any more than that.
So rather than one day at a time, we take this 3 months.
We do 3 months at a time, yes.
Roll call, please.
Thank you. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 4-0. Item I, communications.
Thank you. I have invited Julie Firestone this evening as part of our communication. Julie is from the Educational Foundation, and she is going to speak to us about the grants that were provided to our teaching staff and students. And then immediately following that, we'll get into communication about the calendar. So, Julie, welcome.
Thank you. So as you said, I'm Julie Firestone, and I head up the grant committee for the Schools Foundation, so I wanted to take a moment to thank my committee, which includes Meg, who's here, Marianne Jones, Sue Nall, Tracy Mylander, and our informal member event coordinator, Sue Sabracco, who helps us with presenting the grants at the school. She brings a lot of buzz, bling, confetti cannons, and all sorts of things that we can do to celebrate the teachers who have applied for and been awarded grants. And so just in summary, again, I want to thank my committee, thank the community, anybody who's attended Beach Ball in the past and supported the foundation, and ask anyone to spread the word, because that's where we get our funds in order to return them back to the district. And in summary, this year we've awarded more than $26,000 in teacher grants. Some general comments. We had about 8 high-tech and 6 low-tech grants this year. And then that included the grant that Julie Sarka decides and awards. And we were able to hit 5 out of the 6 schools this year. So, you know, of course, we would like to be able to get to reach as many students and or touch as many students as we possibly can, but we figured if we can get, you know, as much as we possibly can, 5 out of 6 was pretty good. And then some highlights we have this year, we're able to fund projects that will include robotics at Highland, the middle school, and the high school. And so what's new and different about that is now that implementing programs and clubs at the middle school and the elementary level. And so we get excited about that, because that's something we feel like we can give back to the district that maybe is not in the regular funding, and give some opportunities for students that they might not otherwise have. We've got the 3D printer at the high school, which I understand they already had one, but what really excited us is that they've maxed out how they're using the 3D printer, to the fact of and I don't know that I could understand this, I'm just repeating what they said, using the 3D printer to create parts to fix the 3D printer. Figure that's a sign of maximizing use out of a piece of equipment, and we decided to reward that. We've got technology for special needs students, which, you know, we've been asked a lot to help with that, and we have found that that's a unique way that the foundation can help, because the one to one device concept for special needs students is very important as it's communicated to us, and again, that's where we feel like, you know, we don't have device for every single kid in the district, but we can buy five, or, you know, however it works. So that was one thing we were able to do. And then some of the low-tech things that we're funding this year is a foreign language program that's going to allow some high schoolers to go down to elementary level and, you know, read books that the kids might know, except read it in a foreign language. So, you know, I will miss hearing Cat in Hat in German, but that's the kind of thing that they'll be able to do. And then the high school band actually applied for a grant this year that we awarded, bringing in private teachers to supplement the training for the students. And, you know, it's kind of a unique opportunity that we thought was Mr. Weiss had done a really good job of explaining how that would be helpful to his population. And then sort of a mix is we're awarding some technology for art students that they're using them to take their art portfolios and create digital art portfolios so that they can present those as part of their, you know, whether it's applying for schools or, you know, awards contests and things like that. So that was an exciting thing. And last two that I wanted to mention was a Holocaust a mini curriculum at the middle school where they're going to use the topical books to bring, you know, I guess what you call interdisciplinary study or social studies, English, or language arts in the middle school. And then my fun favorite, we're paying for wobble chairs for fidgety special needs students at Highland. So that's a summary of what we were able to do this year. And again, I wanted to thank everybody for their support and contributions made to the school's foundation. Thank you.
Yeah, there's $27,000 in grants that we provided to students and teachers this year. Is one portion of the dollars that the foundation raises. At the end of the year, if you go to the commencement ceremony, you'll find many of our students receive scholarships and grants to extend beyond their time in our district. The foundation has made a concerted effort to kind of switch more dollars toward the grants that are funded in the schools. The committee works extremely hard. They review all of those applications that come in, but even more than that, this foundation also provides professional development to our staff to be able to write grants and make sure that they're encouraging teachers to participate in the writing of grants. So over the last 2 years, this has become even more vibrant than it was a few years ago, and the foundation is leading the charge. And in many school districts across the state, they don't have a foundation that provides as much opportunity for students as we do. So this is a special thing for our school district. It's a special group of people, and I encourage everyone to participate in the beach ball that's coming up because that is the major fundraiser. And Julie, I want to thank you again. The amount of work that you personally put into these grants and making sure that everything went without a hitch is very much appreciated by me, this Board of Education, and certainly our students and staff. So thank you very much, and thanks for coming to our meeting again this evening.
Julie, if you were here at our last meeting, we had Mr. Robotics.
Mr. Robotics.
Mr. Robotics. And the shift from some scholarships to things that have a broader reach and a longer lasting reach. I mean, he did a fantastic job taking basically seed money and creating a competition that'll go on from year to year, and the interest he's generating in that is exactly what, you know, the foundation is trying to do. So, I mean, I'm sure some of that feedback has gotten back to all the members.
Absolutely.
But that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Makes you wish you were in high school. Almost.
If it were for the social aspect. And I would really like to add, too, I really hope you know how much these grants are appreciated by the staff. I mean, I've been out of the classroom for 3 years, but I was the beneficiary of, I think, three grants or so the last maybe decade of my career. And I can tell you how much the teachers really, really appreciate it, because in a lot of cases, it gives them the ability to provide some learning activities that they would not otherwise be able to do. So the staff is appreciative, and the kids are really the beneficiary. So really, I thank you very much for that.
That's great.
Segment of three is Kathy Harlan, who's going to talk to us about the proposed 2016-17 school calendar. And Bonnie, let's say yes to all the unions.
First of all, I would like to apologize. You got the draft version on Wednesday, and despite the fact that a million people have looked at it, Bonnie pointed out to us that both June 1st and May 31st cannot be the same day.
We can't have two Wednesdays.
We were going to head up to Wednesday.
Oh, that is right.
The only board member who did not receive the update is our board president. Everyone else, because you picked up your board binder that day before.
Yes, and I have thought that we were going to get a correction on Friday.
Thank you.
But
I'm sure I would have found it if I had.
I can't tell you all the people who look at it. But this calendar mirrors the one that we have for this school year. The last several years, we've been working our way from late August to mid-August at many school districts in Ohio and in northeastern Ohio also, so we can provide children with as much time in the seats before testing. You know, we've just gone through testing with our third graders, and maybe there was some testing at the high school.
Yes,
so
we started
right. So that is what we're doing. I've shared this with Bonnie, with the BOSS leadership, at our leadership meeting. To each one, the building principals felt this was the best educational alternative that we were looking at. The one thing that the Career Center was most concerned about was that we have the same winter and spring break. I know they try to promote that. They don't always get 100% participation, but we are falling in line, according to Dr. Roebuck's office, with the majority of the districts. The two full weeks in December and the week around Easter for the spring break. Our students and staff get an extra day in January. When I say extra, they have to make it up. It's not really extra. But our BOSS contract is if a holiday falls on a Sunday, it is observed on Monday. So I couldn't bring everyone back on Monday the 2nd. They'll get a chance to recover for the new year, but we will be back in session on the 3rd. The teachers are here 186 days. The students are here 179 days. And if you decide to approve this later, I will send it out, marking at the bottom when the board approved it, and share it with all parents, keep it together, put it on our website. I've already had requests from both of our mayor's offices and the Brecksville Library because they're anxious to start planning some of their programming as well. Okay?
Tatiana, thank you. It seems like it's a simple thing to put the school calendar together, but it really is not. And with the changes in the testing and the changes in the start and the beginning and the schools relative to all that, I should say assessment, there's a lot of moving parts, and when you have a lot of people involved in the process, that makes it even a little bit more difficult, although it's essential. It slows the process down a bit at a time when everybody keeps asking, where's the calendar, where's the calendar? Board members, I know in the past we've always tried to bring a couple of calendars to the board so that there could be a choice, but we've sort of learned over the past couple of years with as many people who are involved with CDCC, other affiliate school districts at that particular site serves, that coming to a single calendar seems to be the best, and involving our staff in that as well as parents along the way makes it a little bit better when you get a final document that we think has really everybody's hand in the mix. So, thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. Thank you. I would suggest that we've traditionally, and who knows why, always approved this in December, but we might want to think about doing it in November next year. Our music department in particular is dying to start planning already for next year, and Steve Coggiolo emails me on a regular basis, and I'm very hesitant. In fact, I don't let the calendar out. I mean, I told him when I thought the two breaks would be, but I don't let it out until after you've approved it. So I think it would help a lot of our ancillary folks if we could move this up to November next year.
Can I ask a question?
I mean, really, we what input do we have to this? I mean, that's what I'm saying. In reality, whenever you can prepare it and everybody agrees to it, I don't think this board is ever going to go, you know what, I think there should be two, you know, days on that Wednesday, you know.
I mean, I could actually get the following year's out this spring, and, you know, we could vote on it again.
Well, and that was something else I was going to ask. I remember at some point in our history, I don't know when,
we
used to do two years at a time, yes. And then we were always, had, you know, then we do the next year, and so it was always ahead.
And we drew back from that when we started to put in waiver days and when the testing started to change, and but certainly there's no reason why I couldn't do this in the spring.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Anything else? The only thing I would like to say is, looking at the start date, we're going to really have to figure out a way to get air conditioning in the buildings in the elementary.
Yep.
That, you know, that's my only
years, years and years of requests. Yeah, it's true. That's hard.
Well, the whole year is being impacted by end of year testing.
Right. No, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Well, that's
no,
exacerbating the situation.
Right, exactly.
I did go online to find out what the average temperatures were. And in June, it's 79, and in August it's 81, but the difference is the average low temperature. You know, in June it still gets cooler in the evenings, and the buildings can cool off, and that's not quite as low in August.
It's the humidity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Cleveland's weather is somewhat unpredictable.
Really, you think? After this week?
with the testing... When is it finished? When is it supposed to be finished? May? Is that the last testing window for this year?
I will pass that ball to my colleague, May.
Is that what it is?
We have, for the spring testing?
Correct.
It's May.
Correct.
So
like the first week in May?
No, the high school ones are a little different, so we'll go into the second and third week of May. But our 3 through 8 will be done by the first week in May. The high school ones are always on a different schedule because of the semesters.
Okay. The last item I have for communication presented to Mr. Verdine from Chippewa staff, also the Middle School Builders Club and the High School Student Council were checks for the Mealtime Hunger program that our kids were involved in at this particular time of the year. And our district raised $3,000 again this year for the Mealtime Hunger. So that's about $2,000 that came from the high school and $500 each from the other two. So it says a lot about our students, about their philanthropic desires, as well as the parents who help and our staff who help organize all this. So that's a nice
great. Yeah. Very good.
Thanks, Scott. Item J is the hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Education may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on this agenda until the Board has had an adequate opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the Office of the Superintendent. In order for the Board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient manner and to provide sufficient opportunities for members of the public to be heard, hearing of the public shall be limited to a maximum of 30 minutes. Judging from the crowd, I think we can stay within that. Does anybody wish to be heard? Bonnie?
Bonnie Montaleo, speaking on behalf of the Brecksville Rocky Heights Education Association. And for the record, my address is 755 Brecksville Boulevard. The reason I'm here tonight, especially, is to thank Superintendent Scott Prowles for the service he has given to the district. I will admit that when his announcement came that he was moving on to another opportunity, I was disappointed because, selfishly, I have benefited from the service he has given to our district. We have had to work through some very difficult challenges. We have found that with him, we had a partnership. He worked with the teachers. He worked on behalf of the kids. And he stayed the course. When we faced great challenges together, I appreciated the fact that he worked with the various stakeholders in the district. And he kept coming back to the teachers and engaging in conversations. I think we greatly benefited from when you came in and set goals and worked with us through those goals. I learned a lot about how to keep records, and your binders are to die for. His records are amazing. But on a serious side, you have a great opportunity that is ahead of you. And I would be remiss if I didn't wish you well. And on behalf of the teachers in the district, I want to thank you and Godspeed.
Thank you. Sir?
Well, thank you for letting me speak for a few minutes here. My name is Rich Burson. I'm with a company called MCPC. We are a managed print services organization that helps communities and organizations understand their document reproduction. But the reason why that I came here today is I wanted to talk about the STEM program or the STEAM program, or the STEAM curriculum in the state of Ohio. I've been kind of making the rounds through many districts, and I talk with superintendents and educators alike. And the things that I hear from these people is that potentially they struggle with the idea of trying to engage the teacher and the student in the concept of 3D design and 3D printing. You know, some of the things that I hear most often are the fact that they don't have a structured curriculum focused around 3D and how they can teach effectively outside of the textbook. The questions that I hear more often than not, and I think Julie answered some of them here today, is, you know, we have printers already. Once we have them, what do we do with them? How do we teach with them? How do we make something? But more importantly, the big question that I hear is that this curriculum, how does this align with the next generation science standards or the curriculum that the state of Ohio has handed down to us? Now, I don't know if your district has some of these challenges or concerns, but if you do, I would like the opportunity to come in at another time to sit down with the appropriate people just to understand what those challenges and concerns are and see how we might be able to help you out. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, item K, administrative reports and discussion. Mr. Prebles.
Item L is first.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so board members, you have, the last time we talked about the policies and tonight
is sorry, you need a motion for item L.
Item L, unfinished business.
The motion to get it on the floor. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Right. You're right.
You're so good at that.
You are good.
Resolve to approve the new revised board policies listed below as presented at the November 23rd board meeting. Agenda item K, tab 3. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so board members, what you have in front of you is one particular policy. We talked about it the last time. You see this one, it's actually outside of your binder. And this is one, it was policy 2461. There is no change to it since the last time we were together, but what there is a more clear document for you to take a look at. The others passed through the conversation last month, but this is the one. So this is the one about recording of district meetings involving students and or parents. And we have done a little bit of an analysis. We contacted our legal offices as instructed by the board, and we asked them about this policy. These are the two blocks. The first block we have always done, and that is in order to facilitate parents' ability to fully participate in IEP and or 504 process, parents of students with disabilities are ordinarily permitted audio record IEP team meetings and 504 team meetings in accordance with the following procedures. And so it came with, you need to let us know in advance. What the recommendation was from that point on is on the second page of that, you'll see option 3 is checked, which allows parents in all situations to be able to audio tape any particular meeting as long as they give the district in advance notice of that. And in this case, one of the things that happens is the byproduct of this is that it eliminates, hopefully, the potential of audio taping going on without knowledge of that in the meeting. And that's a protection for our teachers. Also, by having the teachers being able to be aware of it prior to the audio taping, it also provides a safeguard that we don't currently have in place. So really, this is an intent, the additional things. We've always done the first option, which is checked, which was a little confusing last time we were together. The addition to this policy is the third option. I talked with a few of the board members offline about this option, providing additional information, and it seems like one of those board members being Mrs. Bernauer, because she's directly representative of the board with this particular policy, having gone through with Mr. Jansen and myself, then there is no change, but I wanted to make sure that we covered it this evening because it was the one at the last meeting that I brought up the conversation. So we believe it has good safeguards for our teachers, and it also provides the same good opportunity for parents to audio tape if they want. And by the way, anytime there's an audio of any meeting, I assure you that we had a tape recorder running as well. So
the policy, you know, we've discussed that, and that's great. From a practical standpoint, this is part of our professional development, ensuring that our educators are aware that they know that they can and should record if the parent wishes to record.
And that becomes a guideline if the board approves this one.
Right. How do parents know that they can't just record a meeting without calling them? The educator may not be aware that the parent has a recording device. Then what happens?
The same thing that would happen if the person was at a bank or if they did it in a private meeting with someone else. The audio tape would come out. It would not be admissible in the court of law because it was not known that everyone in the room
got
it. Was
done. Good.
Why don't we want option four? Or they're just outright prohibited from doing it without it being a disability. Why do we want it?
It's my understanding, and Gina can help me with this, we talked about this, option four creates more bureaucratic type problems that we won't like to try to avoid. You're isolating just special needs students.
No, isn't it for parents that have a disability? Unless a parent or district staff member has a disability recognized. So it's for the parent, if they have a disability, they want to audio. Isn't that how that reads? Or?
Yes, but we don't ask parents if they were on a 504 or an IEP.
I'm sure you've read it this, Debbie.
So. I actually did.
Okay. So I trust you.
And I feel pretty confident because the way option three is written, the parent really does need to let the district or the teacher, somebody know in the district, the date, before the date. So, you know, I think you're looking at least 24 hours and stuff. So,
but you feel good that even they're allowed, that it's still allowable.
Where this comes into play, not specific to this, is a parent who needs an interpreter.
Right.
ELL, new individual in the country, we provide interpreters in those meetings, and that actually happened last week in a meeting. So that's the only one. The others have not had any changes, and in last board meeting and prior board information correspondence for me to you know the rationale for each of the others.
Any other questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item K, administrative reports and discussion. Mr. Puppets.
I have been working with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Maddock on behalf of the Board of Education. And on Monday, December 7th through last week, December 12th, there have been several things that have taken place with Dr. Maddock as we work to transition him into an interim position of superintendent. There have been transitional discussions with myself, and that set the stage during that meeting for those meetings for many things that have happened last week. First of all, we did building tours throughout the entire district where Dr. Maddock had the opportunity to go in, see the principal in their building, and also be able to meet and greet some of the office staff and a few teachers who were up and down the hallways. We went through all of the buildings and toured all the hallways, and all the activities are taking place. We also went over to the transportation department, met with mechanics, met with Mr. Fillmore. We went to the site center where Joe was able to see how professional development is dispersed throughout the school district, as well as see the equipment over there, and have an opportunity to talk with teacher leaders, as well as John Schinker, about technology and technology integration in the school district. Dr. Maddock attended cabinet meetings this week, and during those cabinet meetings, or that cabinet meeting, we went through 27 transitional items, which include next steps and items that need to be taken care of between now and the end of the school year. And Bonnie spoke a few minutes ago about the reports and the binders. That, in fact, is those 27 items. We went through those line by line, item by item. We agreed upon BIF arrangements. We agreed on board presentations. We agreed on making sure that all of those things maintain and all the reports that are necessary for the board to continue to manage, or I should say lead the school district, all those things are in place. We went over this five-year strategic vision aligned next to that particular document. So not only do we have the 27 items, Dr. Maddock has a clear idea of how those things are linked to the district's five-year strategic vision that we put together, which also has a fiscal side to it. So he has a good awareness of how dollars have been spent in the past, what is on that particular document, and what the future is intended to hold, recognizing that that document is organic, flexible, and will move depending upon changes and fluctuations that occur in the school district at any given time. We went over the board agenda, which is the agenda that's in front of you today, but more important was the process of the board agenda and how things come together and how the leadership team in this office works with the rest of the district to make sure that all of the items coming to the board agenda are processed, are vetted, and are prepared for your meetings that happen each Monday, one Monday per month. And so Dr. Maddock went through that process. We also walked him through that process with Cheryl Richardson, who is the person who actually puts it together on behalf of the Board of Education, and spent some time with Mr. Burdine on some of those things as well. Dr. Maddock attended the principal leadership team he also helped actually develop, based on some of these conversations, this past week's leadership team agenda and principals' agendas that are coming up. Dr. Maddock participated in a district-wide CIP meeting, and the CIP meetings, as you know, each building has their own continuous improvement plan. Four times a year, we come together at the high school, and we go through all the aspects of those plans and the data and all the things that are happening professional development-wise. So he was involved in that meeting and has a clear understanding of how that connects to the strategic vision and other things that happen in this office. He attended the CVCC superintendent's meeting the other day to get a sense of how we work with the CVCC and also to coordinate with affiliate superintendents about calamity days that may or may not be coming up and all the associated responsibilities with making sure that kids are getting to and from in a safe manner on those particular mornings. So he worked to do that, shared numbers, and has all the contact information with that. Also, while we were at the transportation department, we reviewed the two-hour delay schedule that we have in the district, and he understands that understands that is sometimes a last resort, but nonetheless it is there available for our district. He attended the district leadership meeting where we went over the DEA and BOSS negotiated contract. We also took a look at some language that we are working on with the associations, as well as through Mr. Burdine's office, to prepare some documents for the Board of Education, so you have a full understanding of some of the things that are priority issues for the administrative leadership for the Board of Education for those discussions. He went through the calendar process and played a role in the development, at least, of some of the discussions leading to tonight's meeting on the calendar, so he has a sense of that. He also reviewed the website, beta site, our new site, and reviewed some of those things. Mrs. Bernauer met with Dr. Maddock and Mayor Ally the other day. That happened on December 10th, and there is a meeting set up with our other mayor on January 7th. So he's reaching out and has had an opportunity to do that. Then during the week of December 21st and January 1st, he and I will resume our transitional discussions. We'll talk more about processes and procedures of the district and the Board of Education. We'll review the Alert Now security process and all the things associated with making sure he has all of the information necessary and all the secret numbers to be able to get on the telephone and make specific announcements. He'll get a set of keys hopefully mine, and he'll get key fobs and all those types of things. So we have reviewed a lot of information together. I'm leaving him the binders. I'm leaving him all the information that's necessary, I think, for the process and procedural parts of the association or of the district. And so I have found him to be an extremely intelligent man and one who I think is up for the challenge and has the experience necessary to take something on of this magnitude at this particular time of year. And one thing I did do, I reached out to Matt Montgomery, who is the superintendent of the Revere City, the Revere School District. And Matt told me that in his role as brand new superintendent, he found the work left behind by Dr. Maddock to be extremely beneficial to him and has already set up his own meetings with Dr. Maddock while he's still in town to review some of the things that he needs to review as he transitions into that district. So it made me feel really good that another superintendent who is new to the area had someone that left the desk, if you will, in a place where the district can move forward. And Dr. Maddock is a fine man. I've enjoyed getting to know him. So that's what's been happening on a transitional basis. And before we get to the rest of the agenda, I wanted to say these words. It has been a distinct honor to serve the students, staff, parents, communities, and Board of Education at Drexel Broadview Heights. I could spend a great deal of time discussing the successes that I championed or led, but that really wasn't what happened. The truth is, I was part of a dynamic organization filled with excellence and excellent people. People that pushed me to become a better leader and ultimately a better educator. And that is the real story, a story filled with fond memories and pride in service. I leave with a high level of respect for this board and all it has done to position the district for continued greatness. Maybe not tomorrow, but years from now, when the scoreboard is reviewed, I believe a favorable opinion will be held of the commitment to education, moreover to students, the fiscal stewardship and forethought this board demonstrates in its decision-making processes. The community has great representatives on the board. I should not leave without thanking the teachers for all they do for our students and the way that they serve our students, for the administrative team's commitment to excellence, especially the directors that I work with every day, Rick Verdine, and finally all the administrative secretarial staff, especially Cheryl Richardson. Without these people, the district would not enjoy the success that it does. I've been blessed to be part of the team, and I wish you all continued success, happiness, and good health. Thank you. Now on to the rest of your agenda, sir.
Thank you. And Scott, thank you also for your leadership over 5.5 years. Some days have been easier than others. We've gone through a lot of challenges, many of them fiscally based. Under your leadership, we've established something we didn't have before, which was a strategic vision. It's something that's a living, breathing document that evolves. It's not on the shelf. It comes out, and we use it to prioritize what we do as a board. And we've all bought into that, and I think it benefits the entire district. You've built yourself a very nice team here, and not every superintendent gets to do that. You've had situations to bring in, many of them are sitting here with us tonight, highly talented people that you delegate to and rely on, and we're supremely confident in the team that's been assembled here. You know, we've gone through some difficult times, and there's been a lot of financial challenges. We spend no more this year than we spent in 2009. In a district of 4,000 students, our spending has been flat. Some of that is, well, most of that is mandatory because we need new money at some point. So thank you for the leadership, both through the good times, which are based upon our students' performance. I think probably the item that comes to my mind most notably is last year, every single one of your buildings showed academic improvement. That's not random. That's systemic, and that can be lasting. So, you know, those are some of the takeaways that are in your shoes I'm particularly proud of. Thank you.
I'll just throw my thanks on top of it. No, I'll be very brief, but I've appreciated all you've done for this district, and coming in as a new board member 4 years ago, you took the time to bring new board members on and get us indoctrinated, and your style and communication was very helpful. And I think where we are today versus where we are 4 years ago when I joined the board is we're in a lot better place. And you certainly deserve credit for part of that advancement. So, and I've appreciated to get to know you and work with you, and best of luck.
Just say I'm sorry to see you go.
And wish you and your family all the best. Much as we hate to see you go, I think it's going to be a very, very good thing for all of you.
Thank you all.
Just do not root for the Bengals.
That's how I
shot. When Pittsburgh wins.
We even lost Drew Carey.
Come on.
That comes after one win. I mean,
No, I want him to take some of the pain with him.
And some of the players, too, with probably.
Can't avoid the Browns. Item M is new business. M1 personnel contract recommendations for the attachments and tabs 4 through 6. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
It is extremely brief this time, and on the board's agenda are two items that are notable with the employee count comparisons, and that is that we talked about for a couple of months now, including this month, an increase of 0.75 for ELL staffing for 31 new students who moved into the district over the summertime that are not English-speaking students. The second one is a 0.053 in the BOSS category for adjustments to bus routes. Those are the two significant changes this month relative to staffing with certified and classified. And also, board members, you have in tab 5 all the extracurricular contracts that are typical of this particular time of year.
People are still going through, so I'm just pausing here.
Just reviewing.
Yeah, I'm just looking again.
Looked at it this week.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosey.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item M2, resolve to approve the search agreement between Finding Leaders and the Brexville Broadview Heights City Board of Education to assist in the search for the district superintendent as set forth in attachment tab 7. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
It's presented as requested, I think, by the Board of Education in your executive sessions. Today's discussion.
Correct. Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item M3, resolve to appoint Mr. P. Joseph Maddock as interim superintendent of the Brexville Broadview Heights City School District effective January 1, 2016 for the terms and conditions of his employment contract. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Comment or conversation? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Before I vote, I'd like to explain my vote. And I'm doing this just for mostly for administration. I know how word travels. I want to clarify. I have complete confidence in Mr. Maddox's capabilities as an interim superintendent, and I have no doubt that he has the abilities to successfully manage our district during the transitional phase. That said, I cannot knowingly recommend him for employment given the lack of transparency he displayed in the interview process. It was important to me to have an interim superintendent who would be physically present to assist with the day-to-day activities in the district. The January and February months in a district are essential for planning, and facilitating times. All administrators should have the ability to concentrate on their area of expertise. I did not want our administrators used as fill-ins for our superintendent position. Mr. Maddock did not tell us during the interview process that he would not be available to be physically present for 11 days in the months of January and February. He initially told us that he needed 5 days off. Mr. Maddock then extended the requested days of absence to 11. Just to be clear, 5 of these days are paid vacation days and 6 are unpaid. Mr. Maddock is also unavailable for the January board meeting, which the board will need to reschedule around his calendar. There were other candidates I would have considered had Mr. Maddock been up front during our decision-making process. By the time these absences were communicated, the other candidates were already out of contention. I wanted our interim to provide stability and guidance, not to operate as a helicopter administrator. I therefore am voting no on his appointment due to the lack of what I consider essential information at the time of decision making. So my vote is no.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 4-1. Item M4 general. Items A and B. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
The school calendar is presented this evening, and the second one, item B, is a student at the high school whose family is moving out of the district, and by the Ohio Revised Code, if the student is a senior, they may stay in the school. I have contacted the principal. This particular student is in good standing, and this is a good thing for her, her family, and for our high school.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item N, committee reports, financial liaison audit.
I believe that our audit will conclude in the next week or so, and we should have a post-audit conference probably late January, maybe early February. I wouldn't think any longer than that, and there's nothing of any significance of which I'm aware. And I don't anticipate that changing.
Good. DI?
We didn't meet since our last discussions.
Transportation?
No appeals.
Awesome. Policy, I think we covered that, right, Debbie?
We're set.
CVCC?
I think everyone received an invitation, I believe, to the January 14th RAMTAC dinner opening. I don't know. I'm pretty sure y'all did. We did settle our OPC agreement, and it was ratified, so that's great. We're all done with negotiations over there. And just a reminder, next year will be our year to have a second board member at CVCC. And that's it.
STEM?
Nothing.
Other reports?
Impossible, 8-10?
Took me 5.5 years.
And now you're going.
Fantastic. Having gotten to item O, I will now take a motion to enter into executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per board policy 0166 item A, and for the purpose of reviewing negotiations on bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment as per board policy 0166 item E. May I have a motion, please?
So moved. Second.
You can have.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Tyson.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We are now in executive session. There will be no further public business conducted this evening. Thank you very much for attending.